from ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President-elect Donald Trump arriving at the New York Times a short time ago. He's there for a behind-the-closed-door meeting. It comes after Trump tweeted overnight he was canceling the meeting because of an on-the-record roundtable with reporters, then later changing his mind and agreeing to meet on the record. The president-elect taking a break from his whirlwind meetings with potential candidates for his administration. ABC's David Wright has more.
He's had about 29 meetings in the past 3 days, most of them job seekers, people that are hoping for a top spot in the administration. But there's been no major announcements yet. The campaign transition team says that we can expect an announcement sometime soon, but they're really not tipping their hand.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee, six school children remain in intensive care after yesterday's school bus crash. Five other children were killed. Police say the driver now charged with vehicular homicide. ABC's Jim Ryan is there with more.
The mangled wreckage of the yellow bus has been hauled away. Now crews are working to replace the utility pole that the bus struck after the driver lost control. Members of the National Transportation Safety Board have arrived to begin their investigation. Chairman Christopher Hart is taking this personally.
My daughter rides a school bus every day. We will do everything we can to try to prevent this from happening again.
Bus driver Jonathan Walker is held on five counts of vehicular homicide. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Chattanooga.
A man accused of shooting to death a San Antonio police detective has said he was taking his anger out on someone, quote, who didn't deserve it. Otis McCain made that comment last night as he was being led by police to the county jail. Detective Benjamin Marconi was shot in his car Sunday as he was writing a ticket for another motorist. Authorities say firefighters have made progress against many of those large wildfires burning in the southeast. Several blazes continue to creep into new areas. You're listening to ABC News.
Who really invented the Reuben sandwich? At Subway, we've heard some say it was deli owner Arnold Reuben. Others say it was Reuben Kolakowski during a poker game. And some insist it was Hollywood starlet Marjorie Rambeau in a fit of crazed hunger. Seriously. All we know is that this American classic is now at Subway, served with a hearty portion of lean corned beef, Bavarian-style sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, and Thousand Island on new, freshly baked rye bread. Get it for a limited time at Subway.
Not every mortgage company has a 30-year reputation for helping Alaskans achieve homeownership. Alaska USA Mortgage Company is the number one recommended place for a home loan in Alaska. Visit AlaskaUSAMortgage.com, call 800-737-3033, or stop by your Homer, Kenai, or Soldotna office today. License number 157293, Equal Housing Lender.
Home sales picking up again last month. ABC's Sherry Preston has the numbers.
Americans were snatching up homes in October at the fastest pace in nearly a decade. In fact, sales haven't been this strong since February of 2007, just before the market collapsed. One reason for it, low interest rates that frankly have been ticking up since Donald Trump was elected. The average 30-year fixed rate is right around 4% right now, but just a few weeks ago, it was less than 3.5%. Median price for an existing home on the market right now, $232,000.
It's a star-studded day at the White House with the Presidential Medal of Freedom ceremony. The list of recipients is wide-ranging and impressive. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with more.
There are 21 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. It's a who's who of art, culture, sports, and Hollywood. Michael Jordan, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Hanks, Robert De Niro, Robert Redford, Bill and Melinda Gates, to name a few. When he announced the recipients, President Obama said in a statement, this is a, quote, tribute to the idea that all of us, no matter where we come from, have the opportunity to change this country for the better. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Ray Tensing will again face murder and voluntary manslaughter charges in Ohio after a November 12th mistrial on those charges because of a hung jury. An Ohio prosecutor says they will retry the White University of Cincinnati police officer in the fatal shooting of an unarmed black man during a 2015 traffic stop. This is ABC News.
Do you love guns and ammo and other really cool stuff like that? Then put December 2nd and December 3rd in your calendar for the first ever Christmas Guns and Gear Show at the Peninsula Center Mall. There will be lots of vendors featuring high-quality firearms, hunting gear, tactical gear. They will also have service-related vendors for hunting, sport shooting, self-defense. It's December 2nd and December 3rd at the Peninsula Center Mall in Soldotna. It's guns, gears, and lots of other cool stuff. It's the first annual Christmas Guns and Gear Show at the Peninsula Center Mall.
For more information, contact Ammo Can Coffee.
Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Need dental work but no insurance? Denali Family Dentistry offers a new Healthy Smiles program that helps you with the high cost of dental work. For $150 a year, you'll get a comprehensive exam, full set of x-rays, and cleaning. You'll also receive 50% off dental services for one full year. You can now get a crown for as low as $600 or a basic filling for as low as $65. Some exclusions apply. If you've been waiting to find one office where you can get amazing care at a reasonable price, Denali Family Dentistry is the place. Call 252-1673 to schedule today. Take advantage of great savings on winter clothing right now at Sweeney's in Soldotna. All Genka outerwear for the family, 20% off, includes snow gear. All Helly Hansen men and women's, 20% off, excludes flame resistant. Columbia sportswear apparel, 20% off. Carhartt, 20% off, excludes flame resistant. Get in now for the best selection and save for this winter season at Sweeney's Clothing.
Sweeney's, the working man's store. We know what you're looking for. At Sweeney's,
the working man and woman and kids store.
The working family store on the Kinisper Highway in Soldotna.
Sweeney's, the working man store. We know what you're looking for. At Sweeney's.
Now, your Kinisper Soldotna weather outlook on the One KSRM. Brought to you by Arctic Cat. Now available at Ron's in Soldotna, next to the car wash. Call 262-5235. Ron's, your recreational center.
Sun and clouds mix for today. Highs around 30. This evening, mostly clear skies. Overnight lows near 23. For Wednesday, sunshine. Highs near 29. Wednesday evening, clear skies. Overnight lows near 16.
Right now, it's 14 degrees on KSRM, the One.
Welcome to Sound Off on KSRM Radio. This is your community roundtable discussion program on the Kenai Peninsula, where for almost 50 years, we have discussed problems and issues that face us all. Our phone number is 283-5811, so keep your phone handy and join us for Sound Off right here on KSRM.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KSRM management, staff, or sponsors, but are those of the moderator and callers only.
Now, here's your moderator, Tom Randall.
Good morning and welcome to KSRM. This is Sound Off on the One Radio 92. Can you tell it's one of those short weeks where everything is just bouncing off the walls? Everybody's trying to get everything done so that we can have folks spend some time with their families for Thanksgiving this weekend, and it is just bonkers here in the KSRM radio studios. I hope things are going well for you out there. A little bit of a chilly morning this morning. Currently 14 degrees on your Tuesday, November 22nd. And if you got something you want to sound off, well, you can always just sound off right here. That's what we're here for. 283-5811 is the number to sound off to, or you can text in, as Ron has done. Ron is texting in saying, Happy Thanksgiving, sir. Thank you very much, Ron. Right back at you. I hope everybody out there has a very safe and happy Thanksgiving week, and that you get where you're going safe, you enjoy your food and your friends, and you get back home safe as well. Now, today, if you have not figured out, okay, you know what happens when it's Thanksgiving? The day after Thanksgiving, Christmas shopping starts. And if you haven't figured out the perfect gift for the person who is an Alaskaphile, a lover of Alaska, well, we have a very special guest for you today. Roger Seiler is here. He has a new book out called Master of Alaska. Good morning, Roger. How you doing today, sir?
Morning there, Tom. Doing great.
Hey, so how's the weather where you're at? We're a little overcast and cool this morning. Where are you joining us from this morning?
Well, today I'm in Nyack, New York, right on the Hudson River, right where they're building the new Tappan Zee Bridge that maybe you folks have seen something about. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's about 32 degrees here and sunny and clear.
Wow, sounds like a nice day to be in New York. Have you stopped by and said hello to the new president yet?
Not yet.
Oh, are you not on that list? Are you not getting a cabinet position?
I've been sitting here by the phone, Tom, you know, and I just haven't gotten the call.
We thought, you know, 4,200 cabinet positions, we figured everybody in New York was getting a job.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
All right, Roger, tell us a little bit about, for my listeners out there who haven't had the opportunity to look at some of your work, tell us a little about where Roger comes from. Who are you, Roger?
Okay, well, I'm a documentary filmmaker and a computer programmer.
Mm.
Don't seem to be things that you'd think would mix, but they do in the way I do it. But anyway, I came from, I grew up in Alaska. My family moved to Anchorage in 1944.
Oh, my goodness.
I was just a little one then. And then in 1950, there got to be too many people in Anchorage competing with my, you know, the reason we went up there was for the fishing. And my dad didn't tell my mom that, you know, and he said it was just going to be for 2 years.
Right.
Ended up being up there for 40 years. But anyway, the fishing was better out on the Alaska Peninsula by 1950, so we moved out to King Salmon. And so that's where did a lot of growing up there in King Salmon and learning how to fish and became a sport fishing guide and also a commercial fisherman out there in Bristol Bay.
Well, good. See, this is the thing we worry about in Alaska is when we hear about a guy from the East Coast writing a book about Alaska, the fur on the back of our necks just goes right up because it's like, what?
I can imagine.
What the heck? A guy from New York. Come on. But
it's exactly the same feeling I get when I hear about somebody in Alaska trying to write about New York.
We have no clue. We have no clue. Oh, my goodness. All right, so you spent some time becoming authentically Alaskan, doing the whole Alaskan thing, and then at some point transitioned into writing and filmmaking. How does that work?
Well, I got interested in filmmaking in Alaska, doing wildlife photography up there, and I went to UCLA Film School and got into documentary filmmaking, and then went to work for IBM, and they brought me out to the East Coast, and so that's how all that got started. But this story, the story about Alexander Baranov, which is he's the master of Alaska in this book. He was the first Russian governor of Alaska back in 1790, when George Washington was president. Well, I got interested in this because my dad read a biography about him, and he told me what a great story it is. And when I was studying filmmaking at UCLA, he said, "Roger, when you get out of school, you ought to make a film about this guy."
And you finally got around
story,
to it.
And so, you know, eventually I got around to it. So here we are.
All right. So 1790, give us a little background on that. You mentioned George Washington is in the White House. Now, that is...
George Washington's in the White House. So that sort of sets the time period here. And except he wasn't in the White House because they hadn't built it yet.
Well, details, but, details.
Right.
he was staying at Trump Plaza.
Something like that. But anyway... at that time, you know, the Russians, their main interest in Alaska was the fur trade. And when they first they thought they discovered Alaska, but the natives knew it was there all along, you know. But anyway, when they got there in 1741, which was they noticed, there are a lot of sea otter along the coast here, and the sea otter fur trade was going like gangbusters in those days, especially selling sea otter furs to China. So it was interesting the way they went about it, because Catherine the Great, who was the Tsarina at the time that Baranov went to Alaska, she was concerned that their presence in Alaska would upset the British, and that the British might want to just add Alaska to Canada. So she did not send over any governmental authorities or anything like that. She just let fur companies go over there, and that was, you know, and so just a commercial operation going on, she thought wouldn't upset the British, because of course they had the biggest and the biggest, baddest navy at that time. So So that's how Baranov got sent over there. And in 1790, and he was supposed to be there for just 5 years, a five-year term. He had to leave his family behind. And he got shipwrecked on the way over there. He was shipwrecked in near what is now called Dutch Harbor. He got rescued. He and his men got rescued by the natives, and he learned how to hunt the native way. It was in October when they got shipwrecked, so there was no going on to Kodiak, which is where they were headed, until the following spring. So they had to make do with the natives, and he was the best of all of the Russians at learning the native, learning the Aleut language and how they hunt and all of that, and so much so that the chief there, and they call the chief is called a Toyon, the Toyon there, he respected Baranov greatly for just kind of mixing in with them, and he gave him he told him when they were about ready to leave in the spring of 1791, he says, you know, you're half Aleut now, and so I'm going to give you a native name. So he gave him the name of Nanuk, which is their word for polar bear, and he had gotten a polar bear hide from when he was on a trip up north to the to the Eskimo country, and so he got this he gave him this hide as part of it, and he said, you know, this has magical powers. Well, we found out later in the story how Baranov gives it magical powers, whether it had any originally or not. But anyway,
we're visiting with Roger Seiler, who is the we've got a little bit of feedback on your end. You have a radio or anything on in the background, sir?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll have the text take a look at the line here at this point. You're listening to Sound Off on KSRM. It's Tuesday, November 22nd, currently 14 degrees outside. We're visiting with the author of Master of Alaska, Roger Seiler, and we'll be back. It's currently 9:17 on KSRM.
Thanksgiving. Just the mention of the word probably has you smelling the turkey, tasting the cranberry sauce, and recalling fond memories of time spent with family and friends. For most of us, it's pretty easy to think of a good-sized list of things we're thankful for, even in the hard times.
Let's all join hands to give thanks to the Lord.
Okay.
This year, I know one thing I'm going to make sure I mention at my table, the gift of Jesus. You see, since I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I know 100% without a doubt that I have the gift of eternal life, and nothing can separate me from that wonderful truth. Now that is something to be thankful for.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Holistic in, I'm hungry.
What about you? Can you know that you're heaven-bound? You can, but only if you know God's Son, Jesus. Learn more right now at 888-NEED-HIM or click over to chataboutjesus.com.
Ah, 1933, the year Prohibition was repealed. It's been 83 years since that day, and the Bridge Lounge in Soldotna thinks it's time to party like it was 1933. So stop by the Bridge Lounge December 3rd, and they want you to show up dressed like it's 1933, because there's a contest for the best dressed fella and flapper. They will also have trivia questions, games, and drink special. So round up all your friends and dress up like it's 1933 and go party at the Bridge Lounge.
Data in Alaska is expensive, and Microcom, your local authorized DirecTV dealer in Alaska, gets that as well as you do. With DirecTV and AT&T, you can watch your live channels data-free, and that's only with Microcom. Go to Microcom.tv for more information or call 907-264-3407 today.
Requires eligible DirecTV and AT&T wireless data services and streaming through DirecTV app. Restrictions and exclusions apply and may incur data usage subject to wireless service terms, including those relating to speed and coverage and service not available everywhere. Offer subject to change and may be discontinued at any time. Visit AT&T.com/data-free-TV for complete details.
You're listening to KSRM, the One Radio 92. This is Sound Off. And if you want to sound off or ask our guest a question, you can. The number to call in is 283-5811, or you can text us 1-907-283-5811. We're visiting with the author of Master of Alaska, and it's Roger Seiler, and he is, as we have verified, a bona fide Alaskan, somebody who has actually spent some time up here, caught a real fish in a real river, and has some bona fides for telling this story. So we're visiting with the author. We have the first governor, the Russian governor of Alaska, in Alaska finally. He gave us some background on the story of why we didn't have a significant bureaucratic presence here when they first started off. They were trying to appease the English government. Well, now we have a governor, and he's made it all the way into Alaska, and he sets up shop where, sir?
Well, their first base was at a place called Three Saints Bay on Kodiak Island, and he got set up there, and the first problem he had to solve was that when he got there, because he'd been shipwrecked, he didn't have any supplies to bring with him, mm-hmm. and which they had been desperately waiting for, and they were on the verge of starvation. So he, being a real problem solver, he got the natives who came with him to go out and do some whale hunting, and they got a whale and fed the people who had been waiting for his ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he was a real problem solver and was able to handle just about anything. And he had just about everything to handle while he was there.
Well, you know, Kodiak is like that some days, especially on the weekends. There's just a whole lot of stuff that happens in Kodiak.
Oh, yeah. Would you like me to read just the very beginning of the book to give so people can get kind of the flavor of it?
Outstanding. That'd be a terrific idea. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. Roger Seiler reading from Master of Alaska.
October 1790. Alexander Andreevich Baranov was sailing across the roaring Bering Sea near Alaska's Aleutian Islands. Baranov had never been at sea before, but that didn't scare him. He was accustomed to controlling fear with calculated reason. At age 43, with a short, wiry build, he exuded an impatient energy. Now he was headed across a fierce ocean to what he'd been told was a wild land of volcanoes, glaciers, giant bears, and savages. No matter, he thought, ever the problem solver, he would do whatever must be done. On the way from Siberia to Kodiak, Alaska, Alexander Baranov's ship crashed into rocks near an Aleutian island. In a lifeboat, he led the rescue of the 53 other men on the ship. "Pull to starboard," Baranov barked at the lifeboat oarsman, but the surf, too strong, hurled the rowboat headlong into the rocks. With a loud crunch, its hull was punctured, and the men were thrown about in the boat as it spun around. Before they could react, the next wave pulled them off the rocks, and they fought the sea to row through the channel toward shore. But water came through the puncture holes faster than they could row. The lifeboat sank beneath them, and the icy surf seized them all. They were tossed and dragged toward the beach. Out of the pounding waves, Baranov pulled himself onto the gravel shore where he heard the hollow clatter of small round stones rolling up and down the beach in cadence with the surf.
Wow. Man. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, I try and read all the books that are sent to me before we do interviews. Now, something weird happened with Roger's book. Apparently, this is such a powerful piece of literature. Somebody actually stole my copy out of my studio. So to give you an idea just how good this book is, it is worth stealing. So do yourself a favor. Go online. Now, this is available at most booksellers, isn't it, Roger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. You can get it in Alaska, it's being distributed by Todd Communications in Anchorage. And they have connections with most of the bookstores throughout Alaska, and also Barnes & Noble has it. And you can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a good point. Todd Communication is one of the suppliers that River City Books uses in Soldotna. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get this, you can go down to River City Book, and if they don't have it on the shelf, they can get it from the warehouse in Anchorage, lickety split. So, just an awesome idea. If you love the story of Alaska and what it took to build this place, This is great. Now, I love chapter one. You call it finding Unalaska, but he didn't really find Unalaska. It just kind of slapped him in the head when he landed on the shore.
That's right. I think Unalaska found him unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very fortunate in that where they crashed onto the island, they weren't too far from an Aleut village, and so they were rescued by the Aleuts, and the leader of the hunting group that happened to find them, his name was Kupanik, and mm-hmm. he becomes an interesting figure in the story because he becomes very attached to Baranoff and becomes an assistant to Baranoff, but Baranoff as he left his family behind,
mm-hmm.
He ran into problems when no supplies came in for a while, and mm-hmm. they ran out of food, and his men were about to starve. So he went to a local chief and said, "Can you loan us some food until our next ship comes in?" And the chief says, "Well, the only way I'm going to loan you any food is if you marry my daughter."
Ah.
And Baranoff says, "Well, I can't do that. I've got a wife in uh-huh. Russia." And he says, "So you need a wife here in Alaska." So he is either his men starve or he marry this young girl. So mm-hmm. he married the girl, and she turned out to be quite a character, very, mm-hmm. very bright, and she had a real talent for empathy that became important in his making peace with the natives later.
Mm-hmm.
That is down in southeastern Alaska, where they had a lot of trouble getting along with the Tlingits.
All right, so that kind of explains how somebody with, obviously, Baranoff was an experienced seaman. He had done a lot of work for the Russian government and the Tsarina. Was she a Tsarina? Was that her?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Tsarina Catherine.
Right, so he had been around. He had been around a little bit, but we quite often find there's a disassociation when they're working, and they have all the connections and all the power of the sponsoring government, and then when they come in contact with an indigenous people, it's a different conversation than if you are thrown up on a beach and don't have any food. Is that why he may have been more successful than other governors in other territories at the time?
Well, yes, he did. He did sort of go native out of necessity, mm-hmm. and so he had a knack for and he really respected the natives. He saw how they had learned to live in the wilderness and deal with all of its challenges, and and the respect was mutual,
mm-hmm.
and the problem, one of the problems he had was that if there was something he needed to have a governmental decision on,
mm-hmm.
it took a year for a message to go from him to St. Petersburg, which was the capital then of Russia.
That's worse than dial-up.
The answer, assuming that they dealt with his question immediately, it would take a year for the mm-hmm. answer to come back. So 2 year, round trip to get an answer to a question.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, in effect, the government, the entire government.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was on his own to make whatever decisions would have to be made in Alaska. And so, one of the things that he realized he was going to have to do was he was going to have to create a presence in southeastern Alaska because the British were arming the Tlingits in hopes that the Tlingits would chase the Russians away. So he decided he had to. So he went down to Sitka and bought land from the Tlingits and built a community there, and after it was all built and set up, then he went back to Kodiak to tend to things there. Well, while he was away, the Tlingits decided they didn't really like having the Russians there, and they told him, "Get out of town, guys, or else.
Oh my goodness.
So what happened was that the Russians didn't take the hint, and so Chief Kotlyan, who was a young war chief, he led the massacre of Sitka, and they killed most of the Russians and the Aleuts that they had there with them, and it was a pretty bad scene.
That note, we got to go to ABC World News, because it sounds like we're still doing the same thing today, going into places that we aren't necessarily welcome. So we'll probably get an update on the latest version of that from ABC World News, our own local news, right here on KSRM. This is Sound Off. It's Tuesday, November 22nd, currently 14 degrees outside. Sound Off time is 9:30. Keep the knob right there. We are talking with Roger Seiler, the author of Master of Alaska, and it's just getting interesting on KSRM, the one.
President-elect Donald Trump meeting with the New York Times this hour in a roundtable with reporters. The meeting on again after Trump canceled it in a tweet. ABC's Brad Milkey has more on what the reporters are tweeting now.
This morning, Donald Trump unleashed an early morning tweet storm, ridiculing the Times for changing ground rules, a charge the paper denies. Now they're back to the original format, an off-the-record chat with publishers, followed by an on-the-record roundtable with reporters and columnists. An important moment for a president-elect who's refused to hold press conferences since being elected, forcing the public to rely on tweets and YouTube videos for answers.
The Times tweeting that Trump would rather see candidates win by the popular vote instead of the Electoral College. Trump won by the electoral vote, while rival Hillary Clinton won in the popular vote. Kia is recalling 72,000 Sportage SUVs, models from 2008 and 2009. The company telling owners because of an electrical short in a computer that can cause engine fires. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Now, news of the Kenai in Alaska, brought to you by the Porterhouse Grill, opening soon in Soldotna in the old Sal's building. Call 953-8210.
Homer Electric Association rates increased in October by more than $7 per month for the average household, pushed up in part of NSTAR's decision to build a new pipeline on Cave Beach Road last year. HEA's general manager Brad Janorski says before NSTAR built its new line, the companies were both using Hillcorp line called the Kenai Beluga line. Since NSTAR is now using less of KBLP, the other users must pay Hillcorp a greater share of its pipeline fees.
Their new pipeline, which went across bridge access, we call it a bypass line, that allowed them to reduce the volumes that they put on the KBPL line. And when you reduce the volumes over assets that are fixed, you have to increase the unit cost to the remaining users. And so NSTAR's bypass line drove those rates up as well.
Find more on this story at RadioKenai.com. That's news of the Kenai in Alaska. I'm Matt Wilson.
When your vehicle is making weird noises like dun, 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 take it to Ellis Automotive on K Beach. Whether it's a Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Toyota, or a Honda, Ellis Automotive can work on it. Is your vehicle pulling to the side? Do your brakes make a horrible noise? Or feel weird when you push the pedal? Call Ellis Automotive on K Beach at 262-9136. Ellis Automotive can get your vehicle back on the road and running the right way. Ellis Automotive, the right choice. 262-9136. Most major service contracts accepted.
Hey, Bronco, how you doing? Oh, you got another trivia question? Let me get Dublin over here. Okay, we're ready. What dog breed is considered by the American Kennel Club to be the tallest of all dog breeds? Is that right, Bronco? The Irish Wolfhound is considered to be the tallest at an average height of 32 to 34 inches for males. That was a good one, Bronco. Your dog trivia, brought to you by Glenda Feakin. When you need help in real estate, call Glenda, 252-2743, REMAX of the Peninsula.
Hi, this is Jen at 4D Carpet One. Overwhelmed by floor shopping? You could be suffering from floorophobia, and we have a cure. Our experts and Beautiful Guarantee take the guesswork out of choosing the right floor. Now, during the fall flooring sale, save up to 50% on select floors store-wide. Featuring Anovia's Extreme Clean Carpets, Relaxed Sleaze Carpets, and Earthscape's Platinum Vinyl. So come on in to cure your floorophobia at 4D Carpet One on the corner of the Kenai Spur and Marydale in Soldotna, where we make beautiful affordable.
Hey, Mom, I put a little list together for you for our Thanksgiving dinner get-together. We'll need some Ecolake cheese, some chips, and some crackers, stuffing, mashed potatoes, corn, get some soda if you could, maybe some beer and some wine. Could you bake me a couple couple pies this year? That would be great. And to make it real easy, Mom, all you need to do is stop by Save You More. They have everything you'll need right there. Plus, you'll save a ton of money. That way, you're not spending all my inheritance. Shop this holiday, Mom, at Save You More. And oh yeah, don't forget the rolls.
You're listening to KSRM, the one Radio 92. This is Sound Off. And if you'd like to sound off or you have a question for our guest, please don't hesitate to give us a call. 283-5811. Lines are open. We also have the text machine up and running. 907-283-5811. We're visiting with the author of Master of Alaska, Roger Seiler. Now, we've got the Russians in Alaska. We've got them setting up Kodiak. We've married the new governor to a native woman, the daughter of a chief, so that we can have one of those, good working relationship, I guess, for lack of a better one. So we have Anna, the man, the woman behind the man that's going to help him become successful. Other than weather, what could go wrong?
Everything.
Now, he ends up with a specific individual who causes him a lot of pain. Tell us a little bit about this antagonist that he runs into in Alaska.
Kotliad, yes. He's a he is a Tlingit warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And
so was he behind? He was behind the massacre then?
Yes. Okay. He led the massacre, and he had been trained from youth to be a warrior, and specifically to chase the white men out if he could.
Mm.
And he was against their selling land to the Russians at all. And then after they were stuck with that, he kept pushing to, let's get them out of here. And so when they wouldn't leave, he led the massacre. So
mm-hmm.
Baranov then had to realize that he had to get back to Sitka, otherwise the British were going to come in and take over.
Okay.
And that was the big challenge, the biggest challenge he had all along was keeping the British from taking Alaska away from Russia and just adding it to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's
an interesting point. We have Britain running Canada at this point. It's their territory. They've got this massive navy. Were they able to support Sitka from the land side at all, or was it all naval? Because I would imagine attempting to support Sitka from England at the time, whatever they were calling themselves, would be even more frustrating than attempting to support Alaska from Russia, because obviously Russia is right there. How is England able to pull off bringing force to Sitka?
Well, the British were the At that time, one of the good breaks that Baranov had was Napoleon,
mm-hmm.
and Napoleon was keeping the most of the British Navy occupied in the Atlantic, so that they didn't have very many ships they could spare to go running over to the Pacific. So the British effort was being made primarily by the Hudson Bay Company,
mm-hmm.
and they were coming overland. Though some British ships, mostly exploration ships, came up through the area, and mm-hmm. Baranov was quite worried about those explorations. But he managed to hold them at bay pretty much. Well, anyway, he got a Russian frigate over there,
mm-hmm.
and the massacre was in 1802. By 1804, he had enough. He thought he had enough military power with Russian Navy help to go back to Sitka and take back their land there. And actually, he decided he was going to take an even better piece of land that would be more defensible,
uh-huh.
and where the Tlingits had had a fort.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back, and the Tlingits, however, they were smart enough to realize to know that the Russians were going to be coming back, and so they built an almost impregnable fortress there, and back far enough they thought that it couldn't be reached by the big cannons on the Russian ships.
Mm-hmm.
As it turned out, they could just reach it, reach the the fort. But anyway, it was a 5-day battle, and then which the Russians succeeded in pushing the Tlingits out of there. But one little thing I'd like to read to you about the lead up to that battle, when Baranov decides to get his people together and leave from Kodiak and go down to take Sitka back. And so here's what happens. They're getting everything ready there on the at the shore in what is now Kodiak, the town of Kodiak. They had to move from a different place. But anyway, in the ripening spring of 1804, the time had come to begin solving the Sitka problem. Baranov stood on the end of the wharf, energetically directing hundreds of Aleuts below who were organizing a fleet of bidarkas, those are two-man kayaks, and three sailboats. Ivan Banner, one of his assistants, stood nearby. Also standing by Baranov were Anna, the little boy Antipater, and little Irina, baby Ekaterina, was strapped to her mother Anna's back. Banner asked, "Why not wait for one of the frigates to get here before launching this attack?" Baranov answered, "I don't know when they're going to get here, but I do know I must retake Sitka this season before the British make a move along the south coast. I'll never have another chance." "I see your point. Banner, if any of the frigates sent to help us arrive, send them to Sitka." "Right." Baranov leaned down to kiss Antipater and Irina. Then he kissed Ekaterina and Anna, and Anna had parting words that would make a mark on him. "Toyon of my heart, my love is with you, and God's love too. But remember, God loves the Tlingit also." He was surprised. She had voiced an idea that had never occurred to him. But he was in too much of a hurry to think about it or discuss it. He climbed onto the well-worn ship Olga, tied alongside, and set sail. Anna and his little Alaska children waved goodbye. So that was his send-off to the Battle of Sitka, which, as I said, lasted 5 days and was, one of the biggest battles ever fought on along the coast of the northwest coast of North America.
Wow, that's amazing. We're visiting with Roger Seiler, the author of Master of Alaska. You're listening to KSRM. This is Sound Off for Tuesday, November 22nd. Currently 12 degrees outside. Sound Off time is 9:42.
You need a side-by-side that can help with hauling wood, plowing snow, getting to the cabin, going ice fishing, packing your stuff to hunting camp. But you also need a side-by-side that brings out the kid in you every once in a while. Not to haul down the trail, but to sling a little mud and raise a little from time to time. Then you need a Honda Pioneer designed to work and have fun. And because it's a Honda, you know it's reliable. No belt, just real automatic transmission. To learn more about the Honda Pioneer, stop by Ron's Honda in Soldotna, your recreational center.
When you think about better water, think an oasis, as in home, your home. Think kids giggling over bubble beards in the bath, and time spent slowly sipping tea to unwind. When you think about better water, think Connecticut. Water that is welcomed into your home and allowed to spring back to its pristine self again. Connecticut Whole House Water Systems rid water of hardness-causing minerals for the most luxuriously soft water and filter nearly everything from your home's drinking water that isn't water. Reliably, efficiently, and without electricity. Simply stated, better water flows from better thinking.
For more information and a free water test, call AK Quality Water Conditioning, your authorized Connecticut dealer, and ask for Roy, 907-235-5116, or 1-866-269-4H2O, or jump onto our website at www.connecticut.com.
Kenai Consumer Care Network, home care options for all Alaskans. They're a certified provider for the State Department of Health and Social Services and have been serving Alaskans of all ages with disabilities since 2005, offering personal care, habilitation, in-home support, day habilitation, and supported living. You choose your own staff and Kenai Consumer Care Network will hire, or you can choose from their qualified staff. They also offer assistance and referrals for other local services and free notary public services. Kenai Consumer Care Network, home care for all Alaskans, 335-2008.
Winter is right around the corner, and now is a great time to check around your electric meter for any stumbling blocks or slippery materials underfoot. Hazards from snow, ice, or other slippery surfaces present one of the greatest threats to meter reader safety. Please, take the opportunity to clear your meter path to prevent accidents in the future and to allow easy access in case of emergency. It's much safer for you, and you'll be helping HEA too. Thank you for your cooperation.
And we shine as
Homer Electric Association, serving the Kenai Peninsula since 1945.
Time for today's auto trivia, brought to you by Elite Auto and Diesel Repair. Who built the first motor truck? German automotive pioneer Gottlieb Daimler in 1896. He also built the world's first motorcycle in 1885. When you're experiencing vehicle problems, whether it's gas or diesel, count on Elite Auto and Diesel Repair to get it fixed. Elite Auto and Diesel Repair, located on the Spur Highway next to NSTAR. 262-2280. That's 262-2280.
You're listening to KSRM, the one, Radio 92. This is Sound Off, and today, very special guest with us, it's Roger Seiler, the author of Master of Alaska. It is telling the tale of the first governor of the state of Alaska, well, pardon me, of Alaska, the territory at the point, because it's a Russian governor, not an Alaskan governor. Now, Roger, we're getting ready to have Baranoff go back and take Sitka, and his wife, his native wife, Anna, has just imparted some very interesting perspective on him. Now, we're going to focus, obviously, on Anna, because Anna was the Alaskan that was part of his life, but he does still have this whole other family in Russia. How does that play on him?
Well, it plays on a lot, because he has a daughter in Russia that he's very fond of and that he misses, and he and his Russian wife hadn't been getting along too well because he had a drinking problem.
A Russian with a drinking problem. Are you making that up?
He was very fond of vodka, and he could never remember what happened when he got after, you know, mm-hmm. after he got drunk. But anyway, Anna. He actually never gets back to Russia, mm-hmm. and when his Russian wife died in 1807, he then married in the Russian church, was able to marry his native wife, mm-hmm. and also get his children legitimized, mm-hmm. but. Anna, his native wife, had quite an influence on him. I see it in his letters, mm-hmm. because now, you know, people are quite interested on, you know, where did I get the historical background, mm-hmm. upon which to base this historical novel? Well, the key source is Baranoff himself. Baranoff wrote extensive reports and letters back home to Russia, mm-hmm. to tell him what was going on. Well, he always wrote a copy of everything that he sent, because can you imagine this? A third of the ships sank in the North Pacific.
Oh my goodness!
At that time, can you imagine if a third of all airplanes today crashed? You know, mm-hmm. and that's the situation. So he always made a copy. So if the ship sank, on the way back, he could prove that he did in fact write his report. And these were like 20-page, 30-page reports. Mm. Well, these were all his copies. Were all in the archive in Sitka when we bought Alaska from the Russians. Mm. And during the 1930s, a New Deal WPA project. WPA is a Works Progress Administration. Mm-hmm. A WPA project was to translate all of Baranoff's letters into English. Mm. And so I was able to get hold of the English translation of all of these letters and see what you know, from his point of view, what happened and so on.
All right. So tell us about that transition from being the Russian governor with a Russian wife, and then now he's gone native, as you put it. Tell us about how that thinking changes. What do we see early, and then contrast that to some later thought?
Well, in the first couple of letters that I read, he comes off like a really tough hombre. he doesn't give anybody any slack, and that's the way he expresses himself in those, including his boss. He gives his boss a hard time, his boss, who's back in St. Petersburg, but. After he gets together with Anna, you start to see the tone of his letters change. Mm-hmm. And here's a little piece I want to read to you that gives an example of the empathy that he developed for the natives. Mm-hmm. And this is a letter written a couple of years after he got together with Anna. And he says, and this is Baranoff's own words in English, of course, "The route from Kodiak to Yakutat is hard on the Aleut hunters. Imagine the poor natives making this journey both ways, 1,326 miles in narrow bidarkas, two-man kayaks, without sails, using only paddles. They have to endure hunger on the way and often perish in stormy seas because this coast offers no adequate shelter. In places where the onshore natives, the Tlingit, are hostile, the Aleuts are always in constant danger of attack. It is under these conditions that the Aleuts have to hunt sea otters for us. For the time being, they endure it, but it takes courage, and you can judge for yourself their state of mind."
Man. You know, we get a little spoiled in Alaska today because we have airports, we have Raven Air Service, we have Alaska Air. But when you go back and you think about trying to do things in Alaska in a canoe, it's an amazing mind stretching. I mean, we have people who go out and try and kayak for fun up here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? Things go wrong. They whip on the GPS and a Coast Guard helicopter whips out of the sky to save them. But, you know, we're talking about a mortality rate. You said on the ships going back, 30% of the ships taking information back to the Russian Empire were lost.
That's right.
Holy cow. How do you get anything done?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had to get a lot of sea otters to make it all worthwhile, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to KSRM. This is Sound Off for Tuesday, November 22nd. Currently 12 degrees outside. Sound Off time is 9:52.
Happy holidays from your seafood provider on the peninsula, Custom Seafoods. Custom Seafoods has just expanded their seafood market for an Alaskan-style Thanksgiving feast. They've added ling cod, yellow eye, spot shrimp, and more to their fantastic selection of smoked salmon, halibut, and king crab. Mention this radio ad and receive an extra 10% off your purchase. Or visit our new website at CustomSeafoods.com. That's Custom Seafoods on the Spur Highway in Soldotna, 262-9691. Remember, you heard it here.
Looking for something a little more Mexican? Come to Playa Azul, where every day's a fiesta. And if you're new to town, be sure to try Playa Azul's all-you-can-eat salsa bar, along with fajitas, enchiladas, carnitas, tacos, and other healthy menu items too, like their famous Cabo salad. Enjoy your favorite beer or wine while dining in. Playa Azul is located next to the Moose's Lodge in Kenai. Call 283-2010 for takeout. Playa Azul, where every day's a fiesta.
Does your kid love archery? Norton Simulator's Archery Pro Shop is beginning our second annual Youth Archery League. Your child will shoot once a week for the month of December. At the end of league, prizes will be given. 16 years and younger, and all skill levels are welcome. Call Norton Simulators at 260-1000 for more info. Looking for a great Christmas gift for that bow hunter or golfer in your life? Swing by Norton Simulators in the Peninsula Center Mall for gift certificates or browse our Archery Pro Shop. Norton Simulators, 260-1000.
Board-certified surgical podiatrist Danny Roman offers complete foot and ankle care at Central Peninsula Foot and Ankle, located in the River Tower on the Central Peninsula Hospital campus in Soldotna. From sports injuries, fractures, and arthritis to hammer toes and bunions, Dr. Roman provides comprehensive, professional-friendly care in a welcoming environment. Call 714-5312 to make an appointment. That's 714-5312.
Pizza Boys in Soldotna. Pizza, pasta, and brew. Summer has had its day, and the snow is on its way. Time to come inside for some comfort food. Pizza Boys is all about it. Try our homemade, creamy three cheese and mac, a rich, hot Italian hoagie, or go for our classic meat lover's pizza, oozing with cheesy goodness. Stop in and warm up by our fireplace with a warm cup of coffee or tea, and indulge in a gooey cookie dish. Cozy up with Pizza Boys in Soldotna. 260-4800. Pizza Boys.
Hi, this is Brian Stan. I was a Marine Corps officer before becoming a UFC fighter. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine. The Air Force Reserve offers many part-time jobs in Alaska, which will allow you to continue your civilian career at the same time. You'll receive excellent training, educational assistance, and many other benefits. Join an outstanding team in the Air Force Reserve. For more information on the Air Force Reserve, go to afreserve.com.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association
and the KSRM Radio Group.
You're listening to KSRM, the one, Radio 92. This is Sound Off. I'm Tom Randall. Visiting with us today, the author Roger Seiler, Master of Alaska. He's giving us the an amazing story of the first Russian governor of Alaska from, obviously, Russia, back when we were still in play. Roger, we have one of our regular contributors is on the phone. Would like to ask you a question. Ty, welcome to the show today. What's your question for Roger?
Thank you very much, Tom. Thank you to Mr. Seiler for this discussion. Baranov, was Baranov in Kenai with all the Russian influence there? I don't ever hear anything about him being in the Kenai area.
He was there very briefly. When he first came over to Alaska, there were three fur trading companies in Alaska operating. His company, which was the Shelikov Company, was the largest company, and there was another company called the Lebedev Company that was they were on the Kenai River, almost where the Kenai River empties into Cook Inlet, and he went over there once to he was having some problems with those people, and so he went over there once to try to negotiate things, and that was the only time I know of that he was in the Kenai area, and it was a short time after that that the Tsar who had succeeded the Tsarina after she died, the Tsar decided to combine the three companies into one, and then give him the formal title of governor. So after that that outpost on the Kenai River was merged with the rest of his operations, but as far as I know, he never went back there again.
So they were somewhat of his subordinates that were in that area of Kenai.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for the call today, Ty. You have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Now, Roger, we're coming down to the end of the hour. We've got the book out there. You can get it at we figured out we can get it from Todd Communications via River City Books here in Soldotna. You can get it online. Is it available in multiple formats? I know you were very good about being able to produce some digital documentation on it when my copy got stolen. Available as a digital book as well?
Yeah, it's also available as a Kindle book on Amazon.
All right, so you can get it as a Kindle. Now, the one I got was a softback, large format paperback. Is it available in hardback?
No.
Okay. So, but nice quality. I like the cover shot too. Very, very nice cover on that book. Mm-hmm. Now, what's next for Roger Seiler? You've got this. You've got a very good work out there. Is this what's next?
Well, I got a number I've got a few books that are sort of two-thirds of the way written, and I've got to decide which one I'm gonna focus on. Plus, I got a couple of other ideas that that have come up, and especially with this election, a very unusual election, it's given me some ideas for a story that.
Well, that was one
I'm
of
sure
the.
There are several hundred other writers that are getting similar ideas.
Yeah. Well, now when you're ready to make the movie about this, I happen to know some people in the film industry, what's left of the film industry in Alaska. So when you get serious about wanting to shoot something, I know a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm serious, so you could tell them to give me a call.
All right, good deal. Yeah, I'll do that. And welcome to come back anytime. You know, if you want to come back to Alaska, catch some fish, you could come up. We could do this in person right here in the studios on K Beach.
Well, I was there last July.
Ah.
And so,
you didn't stop by. Roger.
Didn't stop by.
You
How
didn't stop that? By. Oh, come on.
Well, yeah, sir, I'd love to get a chance to use my king salmon fishing expertise there in the Kenai River.
There you go. World record. King salmon comes out of Kenai.
Yeah.
Roger, have a very good Thanksgiving, and thank you for being with us on Sound Off.
Thank you, Tom, and great Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Roger Seiler, the book, Master of Alaska. Next up, ABC World News on KSRM. Soldotna, Kenai, Homer.